So grab the spear of life and aim it, and you'll be guided by edutainment.
So there's this concept that we put together called edutainment. So edutainment is a combination between entertainment and education. So we want to make education entertaining.
So grab the spear of life and aim it, and you'll be guided by edutainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another rendition of Edutain Me. I'm Mo Rock along with Dr. Voss. Mark Voss. And today we have a very special celebrity co-host in the studio with us. She received the Lifetime Achievement Award from Barack Obama last year. She's the CEO and founder of the Woman of Global Change, Dame knighted by St. John Christian Organization, Shelley Hunt. How are you?
Hey guys, how are you?
Thank you for being the celebrity co-host, and
yeah, it's a pleasure having you back on the air with us.
You know,
yay!
Shelley's been one of our guests in the past, and to have you back on as a co-host is super exciting for us, and we really appreciate it. Last week, Mark, you spoke about your new book.
That's right.
Give an update to our listeners about what the progress is with your new published book, what stores they can find it at, and how everything is going.
Well, you can find it on Amazon.com. You can find it on Barnes & Noble. Palgrave Macmillan is the publisher, so they will have it available as well. And I'm assuming it's going to be available worldwide, too. I did see some European publishers as well. But aside from that, what else have we got going on, Mo? I know you have some new projects going on as well.
Well, we do have a lot of exciting stuff going on right now, of course, with Now Hip Hop. We're launching a brand new section of Now Hip Hop called Female MCs. So in the next issue of Now Hip Hop magazine, be sure to look out. It's going to be all female issue for the first time in our history. We want to bring light to the females that are in the hip hop community and the urban community that are working for social change and social justice. And also Fortune Gazette, which is going to launch next month. We had a couple polls and contests as to who we should have on the cover. And part of the reason why I sent the invitation to Shelley Staff to have her be the co-host today is because she actually won the poll. What's funny is we had a lot of interesting people on that poll, but she was the one that received the most votes. So she's going to be on the cover of Fortune Gazette. Be sure to look for that coming out next month. Super, super excited. But today we do have a gentleman that I'm going to take a second to introduce before we bring him on the air. It's a pleasure for me to have this gentleman take the time out of his busy schedule to join us on the show. I've known him for a few years now, and he's a man that inspired me and inspires others because he's the epitome of someone who can be born in certain circumstances but yet rise and shine. He's a business owner. He's an entrepreneur. He's an artist. And he has a book coming soon. He's a lecturer and an author and an educator. And he has an incredible story to share. And if you listen to his story, you know that no matter where you start in life, it does not matter. It matters where you finish. And that's part of the reason why Shelley Hunt, who's in the studio with us, also inspired me, because it's public knowledge. If you've read Shelley's book, if you have seen her give a lecture at one of the places that she's, you know, speaking and educating, you know that she actually grew up literally under a house. And right now she owns 7 different businesses, and last year got the Lifetime Achievement Award from Obama. So it really doesn't matter where you start. It's about your journey and your purpose. And with all that being said, I want to now introduce everybody to our special guest, Harold James. Harold, how are you, brother?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, Mo. And thank you. Thank you for your kind words. And also, thank you for having me on the show. I say congratulations to Shelley on all her success thus far and all the continued success I know that she's going to embark on. So thank you for welcoming me to the show.
Well, thank you. And it's such a pleasure to be introduced and meet you. It's so good to connect with like-minded people. Awesome.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure as well, Shelley. Thank you so much. It's nice to meet you.
So can you tell us a little bit about how you got started? What was the epiphany moment that led you out of your troubles and into the success that you are having today?
Charles, Louisiana. It's a city in Louisiana. The city started with probably about 50,000 people. It's probably up to 100,000 now. But it was a city not too far from the Gulf, 2 hours away from Houston, and maybe an hour away from the Texas. my city. It was either you were going to work at a chemical plant, which is going to put your health at risk, or you were going to work at the casinos, which are the big things now in the actual city, or you were going to just work a regular job, or it was the streets. And my life led me towards the streets at the beginning. Even though I was fortunate to move around and live in different places as an adolescent, I still moved pillow to post. Every situation almost kind of led me to the streets in terms of just my way of thinking and my way of seeing things. But once I started taking myself serious in terms of my craft as a musician, in terms of speaking to people and motivating people, and then also in terms of my business, once I started to take myself serious, I was able to take that same hustle that I had applied to the street life, and I was able to take that hustle and reverse it and put it into whatever my mind came up with that was positive and that could get me out of the situation and put me in a better circumstance.
Did you have any kind of role model that helped you figure it out? Because, I mean, if you grow up in adverse circumstances, you usually are so caught up in the race of getting enough money to survive and having a roof over your head or just basic necessities that it sometimes takes, well, some people never get out of that cycle. And did you have any mentor, a teacher or a parent or a relative or someone that helped you get out of the mentality of living life on the streets and having to put up with that?
My mother and father was one of them. Even though they, you know, divorced and split, you know, my mother taught me a lot about people and how to carry myself when I'm amongst people and how to carry myself, even just me, how to respect myself. My father taught me how to fend for myself. And the reason why I say he taught me that, because at 16 is when I got put out the house and I was living with him. And we were just butting heads. It was, I thought I was the man, and he was the man of the house. And I didn't quite get it. What I wanted to do was just the person that I wanted to be, and that wasn't what he seen for me. So we butted heads, and of course he put me out. So I look up to my mother and my father in terms of showing me and nurturing me and kind of putting it in my court in terms of my father saying, you think you're ready to be a man? You want to buck the man of the...
Okay, it looks like we're having a little connection problem here. Are you still with us?
Hello?
Are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you repeat the last part?
Basically, like I said, it was just my father. With my father, it was him, you know, saying to me, you know, you want to be the man of the house. Well, he was the man of the house. And he pretty much was like, well, you know, get out there and do it on your own if you feel like you can do it. And that's what really said, okay, you know what, as much as I didn't understand what my dad was doing, now sitting in my shoes, I have so much respect for him and for what he did because it helped make me to the person that I am. So I look up to my mother and father and also my Uncle Skipper. He was one of the first people in our family to have his own business and to have a successful business and to strictly work for himself and provide for his household and his family and his business. So those are some of my role models growing up.
Wow. That's well, it's always good to have role models. I think another question I think that our audience would also be really interested in is, you talk about life on the street, and did you know at the time or have a feeling of life on the street or being a part of a gang or any of that kind of stuff, that was a dead-end future for you, that wasn't going to take you anywhere else except for prison or the graveyard? What was the epiphany that made you realize, I have to get out of the cycle, I have to do something to go beyond what even the community would expect of me, which is more or less either a life of crime or prison?
It's when I started seeing a lot of my friends do things like join gangs. I never joined a gang or a group of people. I was always more of a loner. I had a belief that if I did things by myself that I wasn't supposed to be doing, if I got caught, it was only me. So if I wasn't doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing and I was with the wrong people and I got caught with all these people, it could be a possibility that I have a situation that I can't get out of because it wasn't just me. So I was a loner when I took that step into the streets. But I had friends around me that were looking for ways out, and they did. They joined situations with different types of gangs, but I didn't want to be in that situation. I felt like if I did that, that's still someone having control over me. My whole fight with myself and with my father and with the streets, just like with anything I do, is to have control over me and my intellectual property and how I do things. So with the streets, it was a lot of my friends were starting to join situations that wasn't in their best interest. I had a few friends that got murdered. Wow. And I had a lot of friends and family members that went to jail. So I started realizing, because I was able to move pillar to post, I was able to see things that everyone in my community or in my city couldn't see. They were used to growing up one way. My advantage with living the lifestyle of being in the streets was I had a chance to be in the streets in a lot of different areas because I was always moving pillar to post with my mother or my father or maybe an aunt. So once I got kicked out and had to really fend for myself, I took everything that I had learned up to that point and ran with it. Everything that I experienced from moving pillar to post, and I ran with it. But the number one thing that made me say, you know what, I have to do something different. I got to really use my hustle and my intellectual property on something that's going
to... I got to tell you, I love that example of pillar to post, you know. I mean, I know growing up, the way I grew up in and some of the area that I grew up in, it was really funny because people look at me now and they go, wow, you got out alive. And really, honestly, you know, you look back at, you know, the group that hung out, that, you know, went into the depths of whatever, you know, and a lot of them didn't get out. Like, I lost, you know, there was half of them that got killed, you know, one that was dealing drugs that got shot there, you know, and murdered. There was just all this stuff that happened. And, you know, I remember looking up, I remember going home and I sat in this chair. It was this big black, like puffy chair. And I sat in this chair and I knew at that moment in time that this isn't where I was supposed to be, that there was something more I was supposed to be doing. You know?
No, exactly.
Yeah. When did you, do you remember that moment for you when you were like, wait a minute? You know, like you, I think we all hit, you know, those walls or we see them and then people either go back to what they're used to or to what's really calling them.
The epiphany, right?
Yeah, the epiphany. Yeah. Exactly, Mark.
Okay. The moment where I had my epiphany, where I needed to change everything that was going on in my life, is when a really good friend of mine in Houston, Texas, one of his best friends or really good friends, took his life. We have been going back and forth to Louisiana, Lake Charles, to Houston, and then I went out to Virginia to meet my cousin, and we were out there doing some business, and he was supposed to come up to Virginia, like jump on a flight and come out there and kick it with us, handle some business, and do some music as well, because he was in the music. And the night before they were supposed to come out, he got into an altercation with one of his good friends, and they were at another guy's house and they were playing a video game, and his friend shot him in the back of his head.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, and I
that would cause you to stop. Yeah. And evaluate, yeah, what the hell am I doing here? You know?
Yeah, because the house that they were at in Houston, I would be there when I would be in Houston. I knew all these guys. And I was in Virginia when it happened. and he was supposed to be coming up to Virginia the next day, and I still don't know what the altercation was about, because there was another guy there that didn't get charged with anything, but he was there, but he never spoke about what it was about, whether he was traumatized or whether he had something to do with it or not. The guy that shot my friend in the back of the head, he went to jail, of course, but I never knew what the altercation was about. What I did know was that I used to be in that element. I would go and visit that townhome. I would sit in there and play video games in that townhome while we were hustling and thinking of ways to try to get out of the streets. And when I got to Virginia and knew that he was going to come out to Virginia and we were going to handle business out there and do some music, it was like, yeah, this is what we have been wishing for. This is the change. And he got murdered. That was the epiphany for me. That was when I said, yeah, like I gotta change. I gotta switch up. The people I'm scared with. But first, I gotta switch up my attitude and who I am. I couldn't point. I don't ever like to use other people for a scapegoat. So I knew that I had to switch the type of people that I associated myself with. But I knew first I had to change. I had to go through a metamorphosis to become the next hero to get me through the next phase of life or whatever I was about to go through. That's when it woke me up. It was when my friend lost his life.
Wow. And, you know, everyone in here, we're all nodding our heads. And I think
we are.
And because I think what you're saying is so powerful that we're all resonating with it. And, you know, you mentioned that when that situation happened, you were mature enough, spiritually mature enough. And that's my term. You know, I know I'm going to get some people on Twitter saying, what are you doing talking about spirituality? Well, I think that it has to do with being spiritually mature enough to be able to understand that it starts with the self first and changing the self first. And not blaming others, because we're all in control of our own destiny. You know, a lot of people who speak to me, and if I'm speaking somewhere, I always tell people to read Emerson's Self-Reliance as a starting point on what you should read if you want to do something greater with your life. And I know Mark knows a lot about this, and I remember we were talking about Emerson once and the self-reliance and how it's the most vital component, which Harold naturally got inside of him. He naturally had that in him.
Well, you know, there's among sociologists and even psychologists, we talk about the nature versus nurture debate, but I don't want to intellectualize this too much. What I'm curious is, given everything that you've gone through that has gotten you to the position that you are today, you know, unfortunately there are a lot of people that are in a very similar situation, well, comparable, maybe not the same, but definitely comparable situation as yourself. What would you tell the young people out there now, especially in the African-American community, of how can they get out of this? You know, many only see the cycle of life and death in gang culture and in the drug culture. How would you tell them to get out of it?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would tell any youth, African-American and beyond, any youth that's in the struggle and you're up against poverty and you're up against circumstances that you had no control over when you were born, it is in you. It is in you to change everything around you. And it starts with how do you think and your attitude, and then it starts with your knowledge. If you don't have knowledge of yourself, and if you don't have knowledge of what you're up against, and if you don't have knowledge of what you're aspiring to be, you're going to stay lost. You're going to continue to drift through life and bad situations. So know that it starts with you. I don't care if you're 8, 9, or 10 right now and you're listening, because your intellect starts when you hit pretty much 5 and 6. You start processing things in an intellectual manner in terms of colors and shapes. You do that when you're a toddler, but you really start processing things at about 5 or 6 from what I understand and from what I've studied. But I would say believe in yourself, and even though your circumstances are going to beat you up every day, when you wake up, you're still living. So that means your circumstances didn't kill you, and it didn't kill you for a reason, because you're strong enough to survive the beat up.
Yep.
Strong enough to take a couple of punches.
And, you know, I always think that we survive, you know, I always think that God has a plan, and I'll just use that word. Other people use whatever they want. But I always think that, you know, we get through it so that we can do something bigger. I know with me, if I didn't have those experiences that I had, I wouldn't be the same person that I am. So I'm thankful. I'm not victim to the circumstances, but I'm thankful for the circumstances because I think they made me who I am. You know, and one of the things out there that I love that you said about, you know, with kids, and I'm glad you asked that, Mark, because it's so important, you know, coming from where what you're talking about and where I came from and some of the different stuff, you know, and that is truly, and getting back to what, you know, the beginning question too, was a mentor. Mm-hmm. You know, at one point I had somebody that reached out their hand to me. And, you know, it changed my life. It changed the trajectory of my life. And it was in that moment where I was looking up, you know, after the big black chair, you know, where I went, okay, it's time for something more. You know, and this isn't all my life is meant to be. And so I think, yeah, you know, and so I think for the kids out there or other people, you know, if you feel like this is it, there's always something more. And, you know, people buy, you're right about, you know, the age. By 7, we can differentiate between, you know, cognitive good and bad, or however we see good and bad. You know, not the colors, but the cognitive of what we consider good or bad, what feels right and what is good in our perception or not. You know, but as we get older, we kind of start to buy the status quo. And so I just want to put it out there, you know, if people are in these situations or anything like that, the truth is, it's not about, I need money to get out of here. It's not about, I need this to get out of here. I need that to get out of here. Fill in the blank. I need blank to get out of here. And it goes back to what you're saying, which is, no, you make a cognitive choice. It is time now for me to do something different. The hardest thing is letting go of the old to go to the new, because you go through this tunnel. It's kind of like, I used to call it black holes. You know, you go through these black holes and you're kind of like, wow, I'm in the midst of change, right? So it's so easy to go backwards and hang out with old people and old friends because they know you, but they support you in being small.
And
yes, they will support because they don't, you know, the hardest thing was I had to let go of some old friends because, and the truth was that if I grew and became more in my life, then what's going to happen is they're going to say, I have to become more too. So it's real easy for them to want to grab your leg and hold you where you used to be. They were like, hey, you used to be the chick that sat on the floor, you know, drinking, you know, having a drink with us and just hanging out. I'm like, I don't have time to hang out anymore. I have a mission on this planet. I'm doing some bigger things right now. And so, you know, there is that interim, and you just got to know that you can get through it. I'm sure you went through it too, because when you let go of the old and you go to the new, there is this black hole. There's this tunnel.
You go through it. Like, you said it really, really well earlier too as well. Like, you don't play the victim. That's the last thing you never want to play the victim, because that's the easiest thing to do. And everyone that surrounds you, whether people believe it or not, what's in your life, how you think and how you act and how you react. People don't get it though. They really don't get it. It's just that important. If you're around negative people all the time, you're going to be in negative situations all the time. Nothing's
exactly.
Gonna get done.
I can't agree with you more.
No, we all agree with you.
It's the truth. It's the absolute truth. So I believe that just me being, I believe some people are born with it and feel like I was a person that was born with it, because I've been able to decipher negative from positive all my life. I've been able to see situations for what they are and say, yep, you know what? My first mind told me don't do that. And yep, my first mind told me to do that. It's almost like going to the casino. And
wow. Woohoo! I love the casino.
Yeah, just like that. For real, when you're dealing with your, I would say your seven chakras. And when you're dealing with your seven chakras and everything's aligned and you have your mission, like you said, you're on a mission. I don't have time to do what I used to do with you. I do have time for this. You can be a part of that. But when you're on that mission and everything's aligned, you see situations for what they are. You know, I could go to this after party, but it's probably going to be a bad look for me.
Yep. You know, you brought up a very valid point about having to sometimes let go of old circle of friends because they might actually sabotage your success, and, you know, people falling back into old routines, old mindsets, and old habits. And, you know, in my sociology classes, specifically in my intro to sociology, I like to give my students an experiment that was, that was invented by a colleague of mine, Bernard McGrain, called the beginner's mind experiment. And what this is basically trying to see your own culture in a new light. And what I mean by that is not even what we understand as culture, like the main culture of what we see in America or in Louisiana or in California or whatever, but the culture of the group of people that you grow up with, right? So in this experiment, the idea is that you go into a public place and do absolutely nothing for about 10 minutes except for be in the present moment and observe. Observe what's going on around you and observe what's going on inside your mind. And oftentimes what that does is it creates what we call a culture shock that allows people to see their surroundings in a new light. And even though this sounds really silly and obnoxious, it allows you to reflect on the culture that you're surrounded with. So whether it's a circle of friends that's stuck in the drug culture and the drug scene, it gives you that aha moment, or it can create an epiphany saying, wow, I can't believe that I'm a part of something like this, right? It makes it new to you. And what I wanted to ask you was, do you have any suggestions for creating epiphany moments and allowing people to build up a new future for themselves? And specifically, what led you from the past to your future, and what do you plan on doing moving forward?
Oh, that's really good questions. Every day, how I have my moments now is I take a look at what's going on in my life currently. That's the first thing I do. What's happening right now currently in terms of how I make money to take care of my responsibilities and my home, how I do my music. And then there's the intricate parts of how you promote your music and then how you make sure your business stays afloat, paying taxes, making sure your LLC is on point. I say all that to say, what I do is I take a look at what I have going on for the moment and I say, okay, where am I slacking at and where do I need to step up at? And then I take a look at what I've done in the past to get through certain situations when I was in the streets the situations in the streets were 10 times harder than a situation I may have to deal with now just in dealing with business or the business of music. And then I reflect on that, and then bam, my moment will happen. So I'll pick a situation I would have to deal with something in the streets, and I might be dealing, so I'm not dealing with the exact same thing business-wise, but I feel like I'm up against a challenge, and now I got to think fast because I need the best outcome, and my outcome cannot be jail or dead. So I put myself in that type of situation and moment, and boom, my business is figured out.
I'm really curious. What's your personal mantra? What do you say to yourself? Like, one of my personal mantras is gratitude. Right, I wake up every day and I go, please let me hear and respond with less lag time. I didn't always operate that way. You know, what's your personal mantra, you know, of just where you're at now?
Listen, learn, and observe.
Awesome. Yay, I was just curious. I had to ask. Thank you, guys. I was like, I had to ask.
No, not a problem. That's where I'm at now. It changes every year, every couple of years, but right now I'm at listen, learn, and observe.
Which is great. Yeah, that's great for the topic that we're talking about and what you just asked, Mark. You know, what can you do? And it's almost like that experiment thing, whoever that was. You were talking about. No, it's true, though.
Yeah.
Right? And it's really being aware of, you know, where are we at in the moment? You know, and where are we going? And, you know, just paying attention.
Exactly. And they can shed entirely new ways of thinking. And that's ultimately what you're promoting. And actually, on that topic, I was told that you have published or are in the process of publishing a book. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's actually not published yet. I'm in the process of writing it, so to speak. And I don't have a title yet, so it's untitled, but I can kind of let you in a little bit on what the book is going to be about. The book is, it's not going to be about my life, so it's not about my life story. It's not an autobiography. It's going to be about the business of music as an independent artist, and you should know as an independent artist, and even what you should know as a major artist to protect and collect off your intellectual property.
Harold, nice. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's a lot of people who have this idea that if you are a rapper or if you're an artist or even if you're a pop singer, because they all work with the same record labels and have the same system, even if you're in a rock band, it really doesn't matter. If you go platinum, people have this idea that that means you're set for life. You've made it, so to speak. But from my understanding, you know, and you're going to share with people that actually, in point of fact, the independent artist who might only sell 100,000 records will make much more revenue than the mainstream artist who sold 4 million records. And can you just briefly explain that and what it means exactly? Because I think it's fascinating, and I think people will learn a lot and have their eyes open from the book. But correct me if I'm wrong, isn't that true, that actually an independent artist can make substantially more than a mainstream artist?
Yeah, depending, and this is going to be in the book, depending on your paperwork. Depending on your paperwork with the record label and depending on your paperwork as an independent, and if you know how to set yourself up in a situation to collect off performance rights royalties and digital and physical sales royalties, also video royalties, that an independent artist can make more money than an artist that is deemed to be gold or platinum.
Interesting. So we have a few minutes left on the air. I want you to go ahead and share with people a little bit about the musical stuff that you have, because in addition to being an educator and in addition to you counseling people on the music business and being an entrepreneur with your own entities, you're also an artist in your own right. So what are some music projects that we could expect to see from you in the coming months?
Oh, man, right now I'm working on an EP which is going to be called Vote, and it's Voice of a True MC. That's the acronym, but it's Vote, V-O-T-E, Voice of a True MC, and I'm putting together that EP, slated to drop, let's say second, third quarter. Really haven't put a drop date on it because I'm putting together so many records, and then I'm going to break those records down to probably about 4 records at the most, and go ahead and get that EP out there. And then I have a single that I dropped February 12th that's available in 239 countries. I believe it's 242 countries, but I was able to get it available in 239 countries. It's called Late Night, and that was just something I dropped for Valentine's Day to get the buzz going and get the campaign going and really get people interested in my sound. And here's something for the ladies, you know, just to say, ladies, you know, hello, ladies, it's a late night. But long story short, I got a lot going on with the music. Once again, Vote, Voice of a True MC is the campaign, and I'm looking real forward to that coming out along with the book as well. And the book will probably be finished before the EP, even though the EP is just recording songs, and I'm really good and fluent at doing music. get out before,
you know,
just, you know.
I would agree with you on having to release that book. Now, I don't want you to give away too many spoilers, but, you know, Mo and I have been working a lot with hip-hop artists, and it seems like for a lot of people that are down and out, they see music, specifically hip-hop, as their way out, as their breakaway from the old cycle that only leads to death or prison. And now, again, I don't want to ask you to spoil your entire book for us, but just for our listeners tonight, if you can just give them one tidbit in terms of music-related escape out of the cycle of death and violence, what would that be? Just one tip.
Believe in yourself. And remember, competition is yourself. Every day, you're doing your best to be better than you were yesterday. Whether it's learning, whether it's your craft of music, whether you're into sports, whether you're a politician, whatever your heart desires and you're trying to be in life, be yourself, and your competition is yourself.
That is very powerful.
And change on a daily basis. Yep.
That's incredible. Wrapping up, we have a couple minutes left. Harold, please let people know how they can get in touch with you by way of Twitter, your Facebook, your website, etc.
Oh, great. On Twitter, I know everybody's on Twitter hard right now. On Twitter, I'm at Harold James. It's HaroldJamez. I'm on Instagram. I'm at It's Harold James. ItsHaroldJamez. If you're looking for some really good music, I have some offers for some downloads. You can go to my website, www.haroldjamez.com. That's HaroldJamez.com. And if you're looking for me on Facebook, it's Harold James Sound, which is HaroldJamezSound. And you can check me out there, man. And keep up with the campaign. It's dope. Voice of a true MC.
Incredible. My producer's telling me that we got to wrap it up. She's going to get kind of angry, and I want to stay on her good side. So I want to just wrap up the show by...
Please do.
I want to thank you, Harold, for taking the time out to inspire our audience and to share your testimonial and to, share that personal part of your life that I know for a fact other people will listen to this show and be inspired by. And oftentimes it takes just one mustard seed to change somebody's life, and I genuinely think that you really spoke from the heart, and I think that, you know, a lot of people will be motivated to change their lives after hearing this show. I want to thank our celebrity co-host Shelley Hunt, who of course last year won the Barack Obama Lifetime Achievement Award, and it was a pleasure to have her as the official celebrity co-host. Mark Voss, Dr. Mark Voss, and I hate to do a shameless plug here in the last 30 seconds, but I'm excited for my co-host who finally published this book. Let them know where they can find your book.
Well, the book is called Regimes of 20th Century Germany, and you can find it on Amazon, you can find it on European booksellers, Palgrave Macmillan, Barnes & Nobles, you name it. If you're interested in learning more about history, history didactics, that's definitely a book for you.
And definitely, guys, be sure to... check out the upcoming issue of Now Hip Hop for the first time ever. It's an all-female issue. I don't think any other hip hop magazine has ever done an all-female issue the way that we've done it. And if they have, more power to them, but I haven't ever seen one before. So we got the all-female issue of Now Hip Hop magazine, Fortune Gazette magazine coming next month, guys. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. We have a special surprise guest for you guys in 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Edutain Me, Easy Way Broadcasting, Fortune Gazette, sayonara, everybody.
So grab the spear of life and aim it, and you'll be guided by edutainment.
So there's this concept that we put together called edutainment. So edutainment is a combination between entertainment and education. So we want to make education entertaining.
So grab the spear of life and aim it, and you'll be guided by edutainment.